The next topic was adjuvant systemic therapy of patients with HER2-positive tumors and HER2 testing. Perhaps the most significant moment in the recent history of systemic biologic treatment of cancer was the May 2005 ASCO meeting, in which the results of three large, well-conducted, randomized clinical trials of the use of trastuzumab were presented for the first time. The NSABP, NCCTG, and so-called HERA study all had both similarities and differences in trial design and results. One critical similarity was a stunning 50% reduction in relapse rate with trastuzumab and an equally impressive survival benefit, which was above and beyond what is obtained from chemotherapy and endocrine therapy in patients with ER-positive tumors. Currently, our patterns of care surveys demonstrate that trastuzumab with chemotherapy is standard of care in patients with node-positive tumors and patients with node-negative lesions over a centimeter, and on an individual case-by-case basis when the tumor is under a centimeter. Because of this enormous potential benefit, it's critical to make sure patients have accurate HER2 testing. A landmark effort to review this important issue was just simultaneously published in the Journal of Clinical Oncology and by the American College of Pathologists. Dr. Pegrin was one of the authors on this historic paper, which contains detailed algorithms related to HER2 testing, and in our survey, we asked about a patient with a 1-plus IHC result on HER2, and about half of the investigators would consider FISH testing for such a patient, while 85% of general surgeons would consider FISH testing. Dr. Pegrin began by commenting on the practical issue of quality control in HER2 testing.
That's the critical question for you to take to your tumor boards. Ask your pathologist, what methodology are they using? Remember that the seminal work that was done by the cooperative groups, NSABP and the NCCTG, early on in the adjuvant trastuzumab clinical trial screening days, is that there was tremendous discordance in the community with regard to testing compared to central reference labs, either at Soon Paik's lab with NSABP or the Mayo Clinic labs for the NCCTG. So until the cooperative group centralized their HER2 testing in reference laboratories, the results were literally all over the place. And to this day, various community pathology laboratories may still be using homebrew antibodies and not Herceptin test and not using validated assays. And so the whole crux of these guidelines are to establish a mechanism for standard operating procedures. These procedures include pre-analytical phases. For example, the duration of fixation is an important variable. You all need to know about that so that you don't leave samples sitting in formaldehyde all weekend, for example. That makes a difference.
Soon Paik told me recently that there's a difference whether or not the biopsy is done on Friday or Monday and Tuesday. That's kind of pretty scary.
Sure. I mean, formaldehyde is a denaturing agent. You lose intensity of the HER2 protein signal the longer you fix samples.
So is what happens a patient who might have a HER2 positive tumor, it's read as HER2 negative?
Absolutely. And the other problem with Herceptin test is because of the way the assay was set up in terms of sensitivity, and since there was loss of HER2 protein in a lot of these samples, especially archival samples, one of the problems of the Herceptin test is actually false positives because they use an antigen retrieval step to try to rehabilitate this denatured HER2 protein, and that creates another problem, which is false positives, which is why in our group in Los Angeles, we really strongly advocated early on using FISH screening up front. Now, FISH has its own issues, it turns out. In routine clinical practice, out of the hands of real FISH experts, it is also associated with a learning curve. It's very difficult to read. It's done in a dark field, so it can be very difficult to know if you're looking at an area of DCIS versus invasive tumors. The averages also can be misleading.
Bottom line, Mark, go back to our patient, 1-plus IHC. The guidelines would say, you're done, she's HER2 negative. The investigators pretty well line up with that. The surgeons say maybe she should be fished. What would you do?
Depends on the clinical context. You know, if this was a well-differentiated tubular cancer that's strongly ER positive, I would say, you know what, in that clinical context, I feel pretty comfortable with that result. Moreover, if it was a lobular breast cancers are rarely HER2 amplified, and I would say that that might arguably be consistent. But in any other scenario, given the dramatic treatment effects of trastuzumab, I would be loath to miss a potential HER2 amplified case, and I would probably err on the side of retesting with FISH in situations like this.
So you were like another opinion on the committee? Because that wasn't really reflected in the thing that came out.
Well, remember that these position papers are meant to be just the lowest common denominator. These are just guidelines. It doesn't mean that we can't do above and beyond what the recommendations are. So certainly all of us didn't agree with all of the various nuances of these guidelines. But that's not necessary. At least this establishes some minimum standard. And if routine community laboratories conform to these standards, at least we can compare apples to apples when we're looking at HER2 status.